So next is JP Morgan Henderson.
Yes. This is JP Morgan Anderson. I have two questions. My first question is, you mentioned macro environment and CrowdStrike, SentinelOne, Checkpoint One. I have seen the earnings announcements of those companies, and it seems that the performance of mid-sized companies, the demand environment is now pressured because of the macroeconomics, especially Checkpoint. For example, pressure on the demand and pressure on the margins. That's what I see. And the CrowdStrike was not affected that much. That's my impression. And I want to understand the macro environment. Large enterprises versus mid-size, who is being squeezed more? And also, what is the competitive landscape in terms of pricing? Is it getting harsher? So can you please talk about the recent environment?
Kevin, you can deal with that, yeah?
Yeah, I can start and others can chime in. So two good questions. One is, you know, your comment around the different segments. And from a trend perspective, we have 500,000, over 500,000 enterprise customers globally, of which 25,000 of those are considered large enterprise. So those are sort of broad categories, but I think we would share Checkpoint's view that as a result of the uncertainty around tariffs and what's going on there, that we've seen those mid-size enterprises, so the mid-size enterprises in particular, feel the squeeze and the uncertainty. So we've definitely seen that in the mid-size enterprise. That said, and I commented on it in my video, government is one of our largest verticals. Central government is one of our largest verticals. And, you know, we saw it as a result of, you know, many governments having, you know, these programs that are really scrutinizing the expenses that governments are putting in place and creating some uncertainty. We saw it in U.S. government. We see it in Canadian government. We have a deal that we have been told that we won in Europe, as an example, one of the central governments there. We were told in Q1 that we won it, but they still don't have budgets lined up because they're waiting for all of the NATO commitments to be put in place. So government is the other area that we're definitely seeing. We are seeing signs in the U.S. now that the U.S. Policy and bill has been passed. We are seeing signs that money will start to flow. We've got some early indications in Q3 that U.S. government money projects are starting to be awarded. So, you know, we feel like it's not a question of if cybersecurity is still needed. It's just a question of when this uncertainty lifts. And we're starting to see signs of that. The second question around pricing pressures, you know, one of the things that we track is our win rates. And, you know, win rates, you have to factor in a lot of different components, and that's related to how many, how your platform is differentiated against the competition, et cetera, et cetera, but also pricing. And in Europe, for example, we actually seen our win rates improve. So we're actually getting better at winning deals in Europe overall over the last couple of quarters. In the Americas, in the U.S. in particular, as you might expect, it is quite a competitive market. Every cybersecurity company is here, and you know, we definitely see competition is quite heavy, but also pricing pressure is quite severe.
はい、ありがとうございます。2問目なんですけど、今回前月決算
So there was no mention about the buyback at the earnings call. So my understanding is that because of this instability in the macro environment, you do have some concern over the pressure on the earnings result. So there might be a possibility that you may do the buyback when that happens. But based on the current this earnings result, why did you not announce any buyback plan? Thank you very much. Let me answer this question. As you have pointed out, our company considers dividend. We're not going to do the retained earnings, so the remaining surplus will be returned to the shareholders. This policy hasn't changed, but it's a matter of the timing. We do have 4 months to go. So even if we did not announce today, we might announce and execute the share buyback down the road. Thank you. So the second half forecast is based on the currency. So it all depends upon how much of a surplus that we can get. So we do not have any plan of announcing it. So in terms of possibility, the one that did not do previous year, do you have any plan of doing the share buyback for the 2 years' worth? Well, we do pay the dividends, so how much are there left? We calculate that, and then what will be the size of the share buyback that we can do? And we do have a plan of executing that down the road sometime. Thank you. That's all for me. Thank you.
Thank you.
I will unmute the next person to ask the question.
SMBC Nikko Securities, this is Kikuchi speaking.
I also have two questions. The first question is about continued uncertainty. There are some signs of recovery, as you have explained.
Well,
the third quarter of this fiscal year, if we look at the pipeline and also the current environment, it seems that we cannot really have high expectation. Is that the correct understanding? But you have not really changed the plan for the second half. So maybe you think that there is an opportunity for improvement or recovery. So I want to understand which way you're looking at the third quarter. So pre-gap wise, what do it look like and how does it impact ARR?
Hey, Kevin, maybe you can take this one.
Sure. And then, Mahendra, you can jump in, please. Actually, internally, so you know, from a plan perspective, actually, we have maintained our internal plan. So what we were always targeting. So that continues to be the objectives that the entire company is striving towards. So, you know, we continue to work that. We made the decision to adjust the guidance based on our first half performance, but we're continuing to actually drive the business based on what we had already designed at the start of the year. So we do see, like I mentioned earlier, signs that some of this uncertainty, some of the tariff uncertainty in particular, is starting to get more clear as to what the real impact is and how people can start managing their businesses again. So we are starting to see that and hope that that will help with some of this uncertainty. So, you know, that's what we're driving towards. We do plan, we absolutely are fixated on driving more net sales growth. The other one that I would point out is, we feel like both Omakawa-san and I alluded to, we did a lot of work to actually migrate our merchant of record in the consumer business. We now have the majority of our business is credit card transactions, and that is now fully functional. We feel pretty good that the PayPal portion of our electronic commerce business will be resolved in Q3, and we're going to start to see the the evidence that the consumer business can get back to growing again, because we are doing a really nice job in this beyond device. On the enterprise side, it's all about Vision One and continuing to focus in on that. But we definitely see plans in our future where we will drive ARR growth higher.
Thank you very much. So this is a follow-up to the first question. NRR. So I understand this is a kind of retention and a persistence rate, but the fact that it is improving. Without seeing the growth in the pre-gap, because this continuation rate improves, if that's the case, then NRR will improve as well. So this positive impact, can we expect ourselves to see that to be shown in a quarter three and quarter four results? Or structurally, that should be happening, however, you are not certain that that will be appear in the numbers in a quarter three and a quarter four. Can I have your insight on that?
Yeah. So it's a very insightful question, and it is quite complicated because there's a number of different things in place or in play. Number one is that you have the multi-year deal effect. We've been doing a substantially higher number of multi-year deals, so that our goal was to cement ourselves further in terms of multi-year deals. So obviously it's only the first year of that multi-year deal, which has an impact on the ARR and the NRR. But multi-year deals definitely affect the overall performance. So you might see it in pre-GAAP numbers, but not necessarily see the full effect in the ARR just yet. So that's the one dynamic. The second dynamic is, and Eva talked about it, she actually laid out the plan that we already started at the beginning of this year. And that plan is for us to end of sale a number of our legacy SaaS products. We've already started that, and we've been gradually peeling removing those, and we have a lot of customer success initiatives inside the company to work with our customers to upgrade them onto Vision One. And that's going to continue right until December 31st. As we do that, we will see strong NRR growth, because that share shift is driving net revenue retention. It's driving some of the net revenue retention. In fact, probably 20 points of that net revenue retention. That share shift is, in fact, moving that number in that direction.
Thank you very much. Second question, focusing on margin, this attitude will remain, is that the correct understanding? The environment is uncertain, unclear, and the government budget is maybe facing some problems. But if you increase the sales cost, I don't think that will push up the net sales so much. So profitability improvement approach, the policy, I think will be maintained. But in the past, when top line was weak, Trend Micro tended to increase the marketing cost. That's what you used to do. But what about now? What is your current approach about margin maintenance? I would like to answer the first half, and then Kevin can answer. Productivity improvement for the company. If we introduce AI, maybe marketing cost effectiveness will be higher. So this is something that we consider. In order to increase the sales, we also will execute necessary investments. So why we do that and why is the profit declining? Of course, we will explain that. And for the second half, as Kevin said, we keep the initial plan. We're keeping the initial plan for now.
Kevin, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I would just emphasize the point that Mahendra made around, you know, our plan is to drive growth as well as operating margins, so that nothing has changed in our strategy there. But it really is a productivity. It really is about productivity. And, you know, you can see in terms of the hiring that we're doing, we are in fact hiring a lot of people, but we're hiring in certain areas, for example, in quota carrying salespeople. We've been hiring a lot of quota carrying salespeople, but we have actually felt like we've got some productivity improvements in other areas of the business. So you're not seeing our total headcount increase, but the mix of employees and the roles that we have is definitely changing. And that's as a result of AI and productivity and some of the other things that we've done inside the company to drive that.
Yeah, I'd like to chime in for this productivity. As in my presentation, I show that AI nice actually help us increase our productivity, both in the product development side, on the customer support side. We are getting a lot of productivity, and use those, we can invest more in on the sales side, trying to improve our go-to-market and revenue generation machine.
Thank you very much.
あ、さん、あとごめんなさいの、もう今のところで終わった話なんですけれども、補足としてなんですが、今回の修正のところですね、今マージンっていうところ
I want to add, so with this revision, you just talked about margin, and the original guidance was 21%, and against that we have corrected this, and still the outlook is 20% margin, so it's lower by 100 basis points, but it is more or less maintained at the same level. So it means that we are paying close attention to margin, and that remains unchanged. You can see that from this revised number. Also, I know that the SoftBank Group earnings call is beginning, so many of you are leaving this call soon. But Eva didn't actually mention, Eva's presentation was actually done by AI. She was speaking in Japanese, but it was actually Eva's avatar that was speaking. And she didn't talk about that, so I just wanted to tell you this secret.
I was
aware of that as I was listening, because it was so fluent, so smooth, and there were no corrections. So the quality, well, the voice, picture of the voice is also very close to Eva, so we were surprised to listen to that as well. So thank you.
Yeah, I just want to use that video to showing the example and the possibility of AI NICE. See, I cannot speak in that. As a global company, communication is a very important part for Trend Micro. But utilizing AI, it enables our whole global communication much faster. For instance, our marketing material before, we written in English, and when we translate into Japanese, it took months to produce all those local language marketing material. Now, same time, our white paper, our video conferencing, expanding nation, all of those are a language at the same time launched. So I think that shows the productivity and the efficiency that can be done utilizing AI.
Thank you very much.
ありがとうございました。他にご質問のございます方いらっしゃいますでしょうか。
Any other questions?
特にご質問をお持ち、おありじゃなさそう。
I do not see any hands up show. Sorry, hold on a second.
すいません。あの、また。
This is Henderson once again.
でまた追加いただ
きます。I have an additional question.
地球ではなんか少し
changes from the first quarter. In the first quarter, I believe that you won some of the government business, but in the second quarter, did you won any government because the U.S. Doge is about to resolve, so do we not have to worry about the, any reduction in the existing project that you have won?
That's for you.
So, yes, we did win in Q2. We did win U.S. government business. What I was trying to emphasize is the U.S. government and actually many governments, what they were really carefully evaluating was new projects. They had pressed the pause button on new projects, but renewal of existing projects were generally flowing through the system. So yes, we did win business in Q2. And like I said, in the U.S. in particular, with the bill now passing, we're starting to see money free up. So we're feeling more confident about the second half.
Thank you very much.そうですね、もう一点、ちょっとこの
AI の… I have another question. This is AI-related products strength that you have. You explained about that briefly, but I believe that the other peers too are implementing the AI functions just like your company. But comparing with your peers, any...competitive advantage that you have in your products, or is there any challenges that you are having? For example, the cybersecurity companies that are partnering with NVIDIA seems like you are not the only one, so can you elaborate on that as well?
Thinking AI age, everything is about speed. You need to execute your plan and deliver your solution and go to market with the speed. And that's what I think everybody is competing. I cannot stop my competitor not to use AI. So I can only compete that I use AI better and faster than my competitor. So I think that is just the example of our...determination and our focus on delivering the security for AI. It shows that Trend Micro is ahead because we are the first one to announce all this type of solution. It's agentic AI platform that we can provide to our customers.
I would just add, only because I'm in Las Vegas right now,at the Cybersecurity Black Hat Conference, which is the largest cybersecurity conference in the world. And another couple of firsts is our cybersecurity LLM that Eva talked about. But the second observation is that several of our competitors have announced acquisitions in the AI space of small startups. And what that tells me is that they did not startas aggressively and quickly, to Eva's point, as we did. We really have been quite aggressive at moving in this direction. They are having to supplement it with acquisitions, very pricey acquisitions. We're not. We're doing it organically.